So today I want us to quickly look at, I can easily term this waiting on the Lord, but there's an emphasis there's a particular emphasis that I want to make, which can then make the topic, waiters are not wailers. Yeah. Like, if you're a waiter, you are not at the same time a wailer. Someone who wails. W-A-I-L. Or W-A-I-L-E-R. So waiters are not wailers. There's one other topic that I've been trusting God to preach. Is how kings are dethroned. And I already completed, you know, preparing. So I thought I was going to talk about that today. And I didn't have the release to talk about it. So let's hope maybe next week, if God gives us a go-ahead in that direction. But today we want to look at waiting on the Lord and how not to stylishly wait on the Lord and you are wailing. Yeah. If you look at the word wailing or wailers or to wail, it means to mourn with a long, high tone or high pitch voice. So wailing is not even crying. Wailing is crying with megaphone. Yeah, that's wailing. But you could try to, you know, is it possible to wait on the King of Kings, and you have that effrontery, or you have that idea that you can do that alongside wailing or mourning? You understand? So let's open our anchor scripture, which will be Isaiah chapter 40. But there are a lot of scriptures that we would read today just to help us understand waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have waiters in the house? Or do we have wailers here? Okay. If you have wailed in the past, can you say glory? Glory. You shall wail no more. Yeah, we've all had instances where it's also called pity party. God has, some of you got caught red-handed. Some of you, you escaped. You were quickly able to sing. Somebody say Baba, and we didn't know you were wailing before you moved into that song. Isaiah chapter 40. Can we start from, for context, I think that's where I wanted to start from, but I need to be sure that's where I want to start from. Seems like. Okay, start from 25. It's 25 I want to start from. To whom then will you liken me? I think this mic is not, I can't hear myself. I'm not sure if everybody can hear me. Or to whom, like I have to do like this. Tolu? Yeah, I don't want to do like this. Looks like I'm singing. The voice, you know, when they're singing. But my voice has not reached there yet. That's why I've been respecting myself of late. You know, when you don't respect yourself, your voice will respect you and Lord's leave. It's not me you will kill. You just leave. You'll find you lost your voice. Then you know you'll be able to do the assignment they say you should come and do. Imagine a preacher has lost his voice while singing. He can't preach again. Papi calls that irresponsibility. Yeah. And ever since I heard that, I've respected myself. I don't want to be irresponsible. Do you get? I should have left the people singing to sing their song. and not be dragging key. So to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. See, I like the sense with which God presents himself to us. You know, God is separate, but God still tries to help us understand the magnitude of the difference in his person and other things. So God is one person that compares. He tries to help you understand his godness by comparing himself. Let me explain what I'm saying. Or let me break it further. So God, there's no one to be compared with the Lord. But we find many times that God helps us to understand his godness, his being God, by helping us to make comparisons. So he's not a man that stands to compare God with a thing. It's God himself that says, you can't serve me with mammon. It's not like we came to our own understanding that, if we look at it, the dynamics of mammon is as complex as the dynamics of God. Then so therefore, we can make some comparisons and say, even though money is complex, God is complex, but God and money are not the same. No, we didn't come to that conclusion ourselves. So many of those things, even we don't know the depth of what is created. It's God that uses what is created to create a conversation of comparison. Then we now appreciate what is created, but we also appreciate the distance between what is created and God himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many a times, God, you know, where he also said, I think in Corinthians, you know, where it says that be not unequally yoked with unbeliever. What has the house of God got to do with Belial? Do you understand? So it's God that makes those. Do you know anything about Belial? You don't even know who Belial is or where he came from. To whom then will you liken? Please go back there. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Please go back to 27. It says, why do you say, O Jacob, why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim, like God has overlooked me. Now, this is way. This is not like his bad way. Like, this is his righteous living. He's being upright. He's being chaste. Him doing everything that God says they should do. Every commandment, obeying it. So he says, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim, meaning the things that I have rightful ownership to, is as though God is passing over them. 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So this was a response to what Israel and Jacob said. That their ways is as though God veiled himself from their way. And everything that was a just claim, God didn't meet up with that bargain. But they were now reminded that, have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and a young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He says, have you not heard? Have you not thought about it that this everlasting God, he doesn't faint, he doesn't weary. Then he now says that those that wait on that God that does not faint nor weary, they would also not faint and they would also not be weary. Now, the concern of Jacob and Israel was that it's as though God is slothful. Like, he doesn't meet his bargain. So the faint and the weary, from the perspective of Jacob, was that when I do what your commandment says, meet your own bargain. So when he says, I don't faint, my understanding is unsearchable, meaning the way you are perceiving that your way and the way you are perceiving that your just claim is not from the perspective that God has fainted or God is weary, is that you don't understand what God is looking at. That's why I said his understanding is unsearchable. It means the way they were looking at, I have done X and Y, then God is not meeting up with his own bargain. So I think he has forgotten. You know, that was why I told them that it's not like I'm not interested in answering your prayers. He says, it's not that my ears are too heavy to hear you, neither is my hand what too short to save you. He says it's your what? Your iniquity that has caused the separation. And so he says that his understanding is unsearchable. It means that when God looks at what Jacob and Israel was up to, the way, you know, imagine when we finally knew in Psalms that this was how God related with the children of Israel. Bible says Moses knew his ways. The children of Israel knew his acts. But Bible says he also sent what? Leanness to their soul. Now, we didn't know, even the children of Israel didn't know that was the, like Bible says, that was the insect that is biting the vegetable. I don't want to say it's Yoruba because Eki will just be like, ah, where will I pick it from? But I've said it in English, even though it's not as thick as when you say it in Yoruba. But don't worry, we would make everything easy. There's no glory. You know, there was a particular day somebody was praying. And the man of God that was praying, after a while, everything just started sounding like incantation. And he was praying and everything just, you know, it was as though it was Onumila they were praying to. It's not in the Bible, all these things are your quotings. So at times you also, you know, I was going to say this, you have to be careful. You know, whenever people are pushing this agenda, and people push the law, this particular agenda of preserving our cultures and norms, the question to ask yourself is, what was that culture and norm established in, or where did it come from? It's not about when what's in my hand is except you are not a child of this house, you can't say Christianity is a white man religion. Your IQ self is low. You don't have spiritual quotient, but if you really have IQ self, you will know it's not white man religion. Do you get? The Bible was not first anything English. Nothing English was close to Christianity. It wasn't even there. Even Africa had a feel of Christianity before them in Europe and in the Americas. So you can't say it's white man religion. Your IQ is very low, like Omowe. I'm not even saying you have some dimension in the spirit, you know. Oh, need dimension. You know, but like you're literally your Omowe. Your IQ is low. You get but we see a lot of people say that, oh, we should preserve our culture. But the question to ask is, what's that culture? Where did that culture come out from? What's the root? Was it a culture they got from Orumila Shrine or from, you know, if you don't ask that question and you're fighting for preservation of our culture and tradition, then you've missed eternal life. You don't understand what eternal life is. Because even the culture you are thinking should be preserved should not. When the conversation is now eternal life conversation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so God's understanding is unsearchable. So every time Jacob or Israel looked at his way and looked at his just claim. Now, when they say just claim, it means what he can say, this is what makes me justified. A claim is even good enough. But a just claim is, you can't question or revoke a just claim. It's like when you do insurance, when you do the ones that the insurance company will cover some, you have to lay claim. Claim is good enough. You can say, oh, because I insured this house, something happened to the house, and then they have to pay for damages. Now, we really don't do a lot of insurance here. So the way some people are looking at, not really insure labor here. Yes, you can. You insure things. It's just that we don't have a culture of insurance in Nigeria. But maybe in the future, maybe we might. And that's why most of us, we do third-party insurance, 5K1. And we do blood of Jesus for the rest. They can't eat me. But by the time you buy a car worth 50 million, insurance company will be begging you. Or maybe 100 million or 150 million. They'll be begging you that don't use blood of Jesus to cover it. Use this insurance company or this other one to do, then that's a comprehensive insurance. So that when anything happens to it, you can lay a claim. So a claim is good enough. But a just claim is like you are sure that they can't look over this. And for the children of Israel, their just claim is in Leviticus. It says, if you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. It is like, oje, koje. It's very easy, like a sure bet. Like literally, you can do what God said. And if you do what God did not say, there's just claim. So that's why some people always try to push and say, but the Bible did not say this. The Bible did not say this. Now, there's an Old Testament mindset towards that, because it's only what he says that's the perimeter of judgment. So if he didn't say it, if you do it, there's no sin. Bible says, because there's law, that's why there's sin. So if there was no perimeter to say, maybe for example, if they didn't mention the aspect of stealing and people stole, then there's no judgment, because there's no law to that sin. So you can't even call it sin. And so for the children of Israel, he was doing what he said they should do. And so it was a concern here that, have you forgotten our righteous way, our way, the way you told us to walk, the way you told us to do X, Y, Z. So So they were literally complaining here. And 28 now says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Let's go to verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord. Can we say wait on the Lord?
Wait on the Lord.
He says they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and they wouldn't be weary. They shall walk and they wouldn't be faint. So the journey of a man that waits on the Lord is a sure journey. Bible is telling us that if you happen to find yourself here, this should be your experiences. It means you should not be without strength. You should be able to mount up. You should be able to run. You should be able to walk. And so if anything is happening in the life of a believer that says he or she is waiting on the Lord, then we have to tell the person that, have you not known? Have you not heard? That the creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. I think if I probably ask one or two persons, you know, have you had instances where you said to yourself that, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord on this matter. But in that waiting on the Lord, it's looking as though you are waiting on yourself. It's like it's looking as if maybe things are not changed. Strength is not coming. You fainted already, maybe like 5 times. They've had to wake you up with water. Like, the reality of a believer is first of all to understand who you are waiting on. So there's no glory in waiting. Like waiting. None of us like waiting room. You know, when you go visit and they just say, don't wait. We feel like we are wasting time. Feel like you could use your time to do something. So there's a whole lot of haste in that waiting room. I've not seen anybody that is very patient in the waiting room. Because by the time they call somebody to go in, you think you are the next person. Then somebody else will walk in again. They will bring... The waiting room is not so much of a glorified room. So it's not waiting that is so glamorous. It's waiting on the Lord. You know, there are times that we wait on our prospects. And we say it's waiting on the Lord. Like, let me explain what I'm saying. You know, God will do something with you soon. So let's say maybe, for example, you just heard that maybe there will be increase in salary. You get. And then there's a car you've been trusting God for to buy. Then you just tell maybe your brother or your sister, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord for this car. Then if they now don't, maybe they now just say 13 months will not show again, then you'll not be weary. You will now be tired. You will now be without strength. So a lot of times we've tried to, even at times we've tried to use, we've tried to justify delays as waiting on the Lord. No. And I will explain what I'm saying. You know, the things of God, you have to know first, his understanding is unsearchable. Let's use that reference to just go along with me, because as the Holy Spirit is even carrying us, I didn't know this is where we'll be going to. Now, when there's a delay, the first thing a child of God should find out, first of all, is what is God saying about that delay? I mean, any delay in life. Now, whatsoever you might think is delay, that's what I'm saying. Now, for example, there are some delays that is not their time. So when you ask God, you will find out that it's actually not time. But anything that you feel, you just know, or you have an inclination that, oh, I think I should have gotten this thing, but I don't have this thing at this time. So that you will not have a frustrated prayer life. Because you know that everything that you ask according to his will, he would hear. And if he hears, he would grant your petition. You know that everything that is written according to his will, he will bring to pass. You know the Bible. But as a child of God, there is a duty on us to find out why is this thing on the table. So even if it's a case of, this was never, we didn't discuss this. So then you can easily switch it off the table. Particularly when it is a thing that the devil caused. I mean, like this is like an evil influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because at times also it's maybe your own foolishness. Do you understand? So both is devil through you or through another means. But when there's a delay, when the subject is a delay, the correlation is not directly correlated to waiting. It's not that the delay is that you are waiting on the Lord. No, that one, we need to trash the delay. If it's that we need to stay the hand of the enemy, we need to pray that. If it's that we need to have a deliverance, we need to have that. If it's that we need to cast something out, we need to cast something out. So, for example, if there's devourer in your bands, you can't wait on the, you will be without nothing. That one, I will rebuke the devourer. It's not, I won't wait for the devourer to leave. So waiting on the Lord is not when we're waiting for the enemy to leave. No. It's not. Actually, everything that has to do with waiting on the Lord has everything good in it. I mean, while growing up, I've heard different things that people connote and attribute to waiting on the Lord. So like I said, the first thing is we clarify that matter. See, clarification is better than you being in confusion and you are hitting the doors of heaven. No, that's why I would say you can pray amiss. So waiting on the Lord is not waiting on yourself. It's not even waiting on your prospect. Like I said, you know that tomorrow will be great. Then you plan and you know that because tomorrow will be great, let me wait on that expectation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know we don't have time. I'll try and move in a direction that will get us to the destination either ways. You know, when you would wait on the Lord, you don't have an outcome in mind. When you're waiting or when you wait on the Lord, there's no predefined. That one, you are waiting on yourself. Either you're waiting on your ability to do that thing or you're waiting on maybe somebody coming through. Let's read some scriptures that help us just know that it's a beautiful thing to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start from Lamentations chapter 3. Now, don't forget what we're trying to talk about, which is waiters are not wailers. Waiters are not what? Wailers. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. I don't know if I'm the only one that is feeling hot, but I'm the one that wore the agbada, so I can pull it off. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him. Can we also read Psalms 27, 14? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. Let's read Psalms 33, verse 20 to 22. Our soul waits for the Lord, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord God, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let's go to 37, 34, and I think that would be good. Wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Is that like the testimony of anybody here?
Yes, sir.
It says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is what?
It's peace.
So friends, we have to tell ourselves that every time we find ourselves in a season or in the season of our lives when we need to wait. And if you probably, maybe if we ask ourselves, what's waiting? What's waiting? And like I said, waiting is not delay. Waiting is not delay. You know, waiting is when God has promised to do a thing. And because we have that hope that he will do that thing, then we, that anticipation period. Now, because we have the knowledge of what he intends to do, so the period of knowing and him bringing it to, you know, making it come to pass, that's the waiting period. So first of all, there are no class of people that are waiting on the Lord, and some people are not waiting on the Lord. We all are actually waiting on the Lord, except God has not told you anything. So waiting on the Lord is not for people that have challenges. Like, if you're waiting on the Lord, you know, when you come to this, we all, every, as long as you have a word from the Lord, my brother, my sister, you have a reason to wait. You have a reason to wait. Now, the things that God does for us while we wait is also very important, so that you know whether while you're waiting for that thing to come to pass, you've shifted on who you are waiting on. So the reason to wait is because there's a hope. that you have. You know, maybe God has said he would do this. Now, between the time when God said what he will do and the time when he has done that thing he said he will do, that period, it is not for us to be without an attitude. The attitude in that period is called waiting on the Lord. So that's waiting on the Lord. So waiting on the Lord is not first, like I said, it's not first. There's an issue. Like, my own life is going normal. Yours is not going normal. So you are waiting on the Lord to fix the abnormality. No. And like I said, even when it's the issue of delay, we sort out delay with clarification. See, 90% of anything that we call delay, if you're a child of God, it's probably not the timing. Or it's probably there's an influence of the enemy that needs to be dealt with immediately. And that's why when I attended a particular church, and a very long time ago, so they did a deliverance from one brother. They said he had about 90-something chains. And the man said he broke all the chain. Then was left with 12. He said he'd be going back. I said, ah. How will you remove 70-something chains? And in the lag barabai. Ah, that's a powerful man. 70-something chains, not small. We now left him to go back with 12. Ah, all of us were not shaking our head for the brother. Because the guy went back to his seat. Man said, you should have 12 for. No. When it's the influence of the enemy, we deal with, we get victory. That's why it's not going to be walking up and down. See, you will see the things you should not see. At least you are still seeing it on YouTube. It's happening real life for some people. It's happening real life. So for delay, we trash delay. And that's what you do in your local assembly. One of the things you gain in your local assembly is clarity. At times, it could be when the word is going out. You just get clarity. This thing is from here. Let me go and deal with it. Oh, this was my covetousness that caused this. Let me deal with this. But that's not waiting on the Lord. Those are either wicked influences or influences from your own foolishness. But waiting on the Lord is the attitude we take on when God has given us a word. When there's a hope. And that's why it says the end of it for you when you wait on the Lord is peace. Now, for the one that doesn't wait on the Lord, even though he has heard the hope, it will be restlessness. So, for example, God tells you this. But in the course of having that thing come to pass, you were just waiting on your intellect. How will I get this thing done? How will I? Like, you're just trying to think. But for somebody else, the person is just gliding through. That's why it says that person, because, see, that you have an expectation from the Lord. You know, David said something. He said, I know that I can come up with expectations, but I want to put my own expectations on you. So he says, my expectations will come from the Lord. So as much as we have expectations, particularly from the Lord, the attitude to go through the journey when God does that expectation is waiting on the Lord. Now, if we wait on any other thing, then the end of it will not be peace. Now, it might be a frustrated life. It might be a life you've used your heart, your soul, you've worn yourself out. Like you've used everything in your life to achieve it. Your soul, you've put everything on the table, you've lied, you've been corny. And so waiting on the Lord is not going to be without strength. It will come with strength. And that's why when a believer is waiting on the Lord, is your best moment. Hallelujah. I'm trying to also dispel some people here. They've had a very bad theology of waiting on the Lord. I think that's where I'm staying. I would beg you to let me leave. Please. You know, if you're even trusting God for the fruit of the womb, you have to be careful. I'm serious. You have to be what?
Careful.
And the careful is not you don't know what you're doing. I'm saying you have clarity from the Lord. If it's a delay in your body, if it's a delay, maybe by Satan, or you have to get clarification from the Lord. Else you will be the prey of hirelings. Because that's the way hirelings do. They prey on the misunderstanding of the sheep. So there are practically a lot of things that understanding clarifies. Just knowing where this thing sits, you have joy.
Yes.
You have joy. You are not running one race that God did not set out for you. And like I said, and we're going to do that today, you know, because we're going to pray for every delay. We deal with delays immediately and move on. Do you get it? Because you have many waitings to wait on the Lord. Except he has not told you anything. That you say you don't have anything that you are waiting. He's also trusting the Lord. Do you get it? So when you say, I'm trusting God for something, it means I'm waiting on him. And in that process, I'm having strength. I'm having the ability to do great things. That's why it says, I'm mounting up with wings as eagles. You know, I wrote here that waiting on the Lord is based on a word you've received. Or a God instruction. Either an instruction that came from the word of God or that came from your spiritual oversight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there are different attitudes that God expects us when we are waiting on the Lord. One of it is not murmuring. Not murmuring. Because one thing murmur does is, murmuring helps you to number one, helps you to lose focus. That's what murmuring does to you as a person. But what murmuring does for the devil, it gives him a legal ground to also be a part of that project. So you lose focus. But murmuring is like you opening the gates. That on this word, though, this word that God has said, and any word, I'm inviting the enemy to also have a field day. You know, when you murmur, you bring a lot of things into question. One of it is the authenticity of the word. And the reputation on the authority of God. And that's why they had to remind Jacob and Israel. He says, have you not heard? Have you not known? Now, when the Bible asks you, have you not heard? It's like, you know it will bore. It's like, what if Igbagbe has done you? So it's like, have you not heard? Like, you were the ones that were foretold of these things. Have you not heard? Don't you remember again? This same God that fed with man, like, you know, when the Bible reminds you of things like that, it's like they told you. You had a tangible experience. They knew you knew it that day they told you. And you said, yes, you understood. And so when you murmur or when you grumble, you know, you invite the devil. Now, when you invite the devil, what the devil now does is it gives you the ability to now will. So when you murmur, then the devil will now teach you ungratefulness. So the devil will also teach you supporting God. Like helping God. Like, because you've invited him in. So he now has his own ways that he will now bring bring to your mind. You know, when a man has invited the enemy into his space, particularly when it's a waiting period, the best you will use your energy for is to will. The best you will use your energy for is to look for how that thing will not, like you are on a discovery mode of how this thing will not work. For example, God says, you're coming through this, you will be healed. Then you now start remembering how antibiotics have resistance. You start remembering how they forget Jesus in someone's stomach. You've already, because in that waiting period, you've had another third party join you. So as you are trying to wait on the Lord, you are living in a shadow of yourself. Because all that you are doing at that time is you are pouring your energy on the attention that the enemy is pushing your way. You know, for example, when God gives us any assignment, we are in a waiting period. But while we are waiting, we ensure we don't murmur. Now, what does, so let me take you back to the children of Israel. So when he gave them manna, and they were eating manna for a while, you know, Bible says they didn't like manna again, and they started murmuring. Now, there were also many other places where they murmured. Now, you would want to ask that, how is only murmuring the reason why God would swear that these ones will not enter his rest? No, it wasn't just murmuring. It was every other thing that they were able to do because they murmured. Because you might be thinking, you see, as waiting on the Lord empowers you, murmuring also empowers you. Murmuring will give you sight. You will see how it shall not be done. Like God will say that, next tomorrow, a pound of this will be sold for a this. You just murmur. You will see how it cannot be possible. You will see how it's only 24 hours that is left. Like, you immediately understand biology. Like, we always plant, then we wait, or a Greek, we wait for, like, how many months before, you will just immediately be intelligent. You know, I can also say that murmuring is you deactivating your God sense and activating your self sense. Like, you just numb. Because, you know this, yeah, thank you, man of God. Faith, you numb faith. You just switch off the light of faith and you turn on another light. See, when a child of God can see impossibility, see, over that word of God that he has received, he has employed mourning. Murmuring. And like I said, when you murmur, you've invited the devil in. And one thing he gives you, he now gives you megaphone. Because your murmuring is not that loud. But when it now gives you megaphone, it's now become wailing. Wailing is loud, high-pitched crying. I like the definition, high-pitch. Meaning you are, the voice is supposed to do evangelism, you're using to wail. Yeah. Like you're amplifying your murmurings. That's wailing. A lot of murmurings, they start with doubt. So they don't have confidence. But wailing has confidence. Wailing is, you know that, see, guy, you have to help yourself. Like, if you don't, God might not come in 20 years. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is a powerful scripture. So it says when you murmur, you are disputing. So when you dispute, it's still a context. Like you are contesting. You are contesting. You are first of all saying that somebody can. So it's like saying that maybe God says, I will do something. So the dispute is that God is only you that can do it. So that's a dispute. You've not still yet said, I want devil to do it. But you first of all giving room to the devil. Maybe you've given God 50. You've given Satan 50. So who gets it done faster? It says, have you not known, have you not heard that the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. So when he has even given you a word to wait on, he is on that journey with you. He is on that journey with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we read Psalms, Psalms 46 from verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Is that all? Thank you. You can go back to, yeah. It says, be still and know. So these are the times where you, okay, let's back it up. Let's see why they told them to be still. If you can go to maybe two verses or hallelujah. No, don't worry. You can go back to verse 10. So it says, be still. And so when we're waiting on the Lord, we still our soul. We still the, you know, when you find murmurs in the soul, you don't validate it. You steal it. You steal it. You tell the devil that this thing that, let me go up there. I think I can see better. It felt strange. Maybe I'll try it again next week. I didn't prepare for it. I'll try again. No. Amen. So he says, be still. And so whenever I catch my heart murmuring or trying to, you know, I always remember that story that Kenneth Hagin mentioned. You know, some of you don't know that Kenneth Hagin pastored for some years and it didn't work. You know, most of you thought everything about his ministry was, he was practically sick for a large part of his youth before God. I think it was even a blood disease. It was a heart problem. Yeah, thank you. And so that day, he was going down to his basement, and you know when you prepare, when you dress up to go and murmur. Yeah, that was. And, you know, and one prayer we should always pray is, God, when my heart is weary, let me quickly know. Yeah. At times, you don't know that, you know. Because at times, hope could be delayed. At times. And weariness comes from it itself. Let's look for that place. Does anybody know where it is? Proverbs what? Okay, let's put it up. My internet is out. You can bring it up. It says, hope deferred makes what? The heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. So you don't want to... You don't want to be too sure of yourself. See, there's an excitement that comes with the word. We all know that, you know, the parable of the seed or the parable of the sower. There's a joy, there's actually a tangible joy that comes with the word. But when the word comes, hope is produced in our heart. So there's an expectation. Now, in the process of God actualizing his word, because his word will come to pass. The Bible says not a jot of his word will return back to him what? Void. So in the process, while we are waiting, he says something can happen to the heart when the hope is deferred. Now, we can either say that the hope is deferred means the period when that thing comes to, the time that has been allocated to that thing, we are impatient. That's one. Two is, in the case of maybe the children of Israel, you know, they could have spent 4 years in the wilderness, but they spent what? 40 years. Now, if you were a child, if you were a children of, or if you were a child of Israel, then, because the hope is that it will take them away from Egypt and move them to Canaan, right? Yes, sir. Now, that was what they knew. And they knew that this would take them this amount of time. Now, you knowing that as a, you know, if you probably maybe you were 24 then, you know that by 28, you should also have a land that you also want to build something on. So you're already knowing that at least your adulthood will not be in a mess. You will not be homeless. Do you understand? Now imagine that your 4 years for the... what did the grandpa? Now, if you even became grandpa, it's better. They died. So 24 plus 40, that's 64. Now, the heart is not only sick, the heart is gone. Yeah, because that has been a deferred hope. So it's either the hope that is deferred because based on your own timing is, maybe for example, your friend has hammered. God told you will hammer, but he has not given even anything to hold. You are not eating anything on the head. Or by disobedience. You know, when they also moved, when Jerusalem was ravaged, and they moved them to Babylon, you know, they said it was going to happen for 70 years. Now, Daniel figured out that, this thing is, now, those are instances where even what God has said, your disobedience can defer it. Or, you are not just okay with the timing. 70 years. It's too much. Like, can it be 10? Can it be... You understand what I'm saying? And so, you can't downplay that something God has said that is here to happen. The posture of your heart needs to be checked all the time. Because probably the joy of the word, that one's gone. Like the joy with which you receive the word. Maybe if there was a trouble and God says, I'm taking you out of this trouble, there's a solution, blah, blah, blah. You are happy at that time. But by the time you get, maybe you get back home, you get back to your, you most likely, like, oh, so what will God then do? Okay, I wait day one, day two, day three, you know, SOD has come. Ah, God, what you said, the last SOD. So he says your heart needs to be checked, because where God intends to take your heart to is the end of it is peace. And so when this particular heart, when it was waiting, something happened here. And that heart became sick. And so one of the things that we will trust God for when we are waiting on the Lord is to strengthen our heart while we are waiting. And that's why it says, they that wait on the Lord, it says, they shall. That means they need strength. Because something can happen to them that if they don't have strength, they will lose hope. Meaning they will not wait on that word again. There are a lot of people that they've heard the word of the Lord and they didn't wait. They didn't see it through. Is either they helped themselves or faithlessness swallowed it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we will not allow murmuring, because devil then gives us a megaphone that then now gives us another job description, which is we now become wailers. You know what wailers do? Wailers tell others what God cannot do. Like, you've gotten a job. The devil has now employed you. So when a brother tells you that, do you know I prayed about it? He said, forget it, Jared. So a wailer is a partner with the devil. You would easily know how to spread doubt. Oh, just say, you know, we're going to be setting up a mega structure. The co-editor can approve the plan. If you want to set up mega structure, even build the structure. Say mega structure. No. And so as God has given us that word, we will be intelligent enough to know that if you murmur in your heart, God would not be happy with you. But devil will find you very useful. And you will see how everything that is possible with God can be impossible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think I want us to read the rest of the scriptures I have left here, and then we'll call it a day. So when we wait on the Lord, we are admonished to know that it's God we are waiting on. And if it's God, you know, because God has said it, he will do it. You know, I don't want us to take with levity everything God has said to us. Some of us, we have journals. Some of us, we don't. But whether you have journal or not, that doesn't mean what God has said to you will come to pass or will not come to pass. It's not your journal that there are many things that have told you that you don't even have written. Okay, so it's not about what is written or what is not written. As long as it has been said to you, God is bound by that word. Your own attitude is, through that process, you are able to get renewal of strength. Through that process, you are able to ensure your heart doesn't become sick. Through that process, you are able to ensure that you can still do other things. That's when it says mount up with wind, it's not weighed down by just the one word that God is. Do you know that God does not just give you one word and then we'll wait for one word to be done? Okay, if not another. Your life is a compendium of so many activities of God. And that's why as a child of God, you should not be swamped. Because you are dealing with God that is, if you come to your devotion today, if you say, God, what's happening in so, you will say, oh, because he's the God that wants to interact with man. As long as a man gives him audience, he is willing to, like, different ideas, different topics. Oh, can you do this? Oh, this person has slept. It's not serious. Say you will do it for me. That's what we learned this morning. The friend of God. Because he has matters in his heart. If he only tells you one, maybe you're an unserious person.
He has matters. He's like, oh, because Sodom and Gomorrah was not necessarily Abraham's concern. Is his son, the nations that will come through him, that was the real deal. But with him, God could still discuss another thing. And so we would not just say, God, this one word is enough. He says we'll be able to mount up, meaning you can take up another. You can take up, you know, the reason why they use the description of the eagle is there's a way the eagle, maybe one, renews strength, but there's an attitude of the eagle that I think one, even in terms of the characteristics of the eagle, the way eagle flies or takes flight is different from every other bird. But even in this context, what I'm saying is you're not useless after God has started working with you. Like God would have to finish before another major thing can happen to you. God wants every one of us to be like as is. Because maybe the one word he gave to you is 20 years. So do you not want to wait 20 years before you share testimony? No, as you're waiting 20 years, God, is there anyone we can do for 5 years? Is there anyone we can do 2 months? Or is even there, is there power? Yeah. So it means at every beck and call, you are ready to, you are ready to take flight. You are not too downtrodden or pressed by, hey, God, you know we are still dealing with this, my laziness, so God, let's finish this. No. He says, oh, son, you're able to, you're able to take flight easily. You're not like, ah, I already have 21 words. You understand what I'm saying now? Yeah. So you're able to easily mount up. It doesn't have to go and remove some first. That this one I cannot rise again. Let's not make this word his word again. You know, God will not take back his word from us. And so waiting on the Lord is, first of all, we acknowledging that it's God we're waiting on. And if it's God we're waiting on, they tell us that we can't murmur. We can't say that our way has been hidden from him or our just claim have been ignored. No. We need to go and search out his understanding. And so we will wait on the Lord. We will not murmur. Because he that has promised, he is able to bring everything that he has promised to pass. You know, God is one person that reassures himself with us. You know, he doesn't need to. You know, even earthly kings don't reassure themselves. They just say, the word of the king does not fall down to the ground. If you like, do it. If you like, don't do it. Like, God reassures us. He's a very humble God. Like, is he crazy? Like, don't believe him. He's your own cup. Like, he doesn't take anything from him. He's the one that compares himself with and say, hey, I'm not like Mammon. I'm not, are you? Like, he's so humble. And all those things, they are reassurance to our heart. Because your heart needs reassurance. Because your heart could be sick and you would know, man, that you're already on, you are doing a hypotension. That's when your blood pressure is below the normal pressure, not high. Hypertension is higher. I didn't even know until recently that hypotension is worse than hypertension. Yeah. When your blood pressure is lower than the normal, it's worse than when your blood pressure is higher. They say that when you can just die, they won't know you have died. Hypertension, you should be, hey, hey, hey. You should be shouting. Hypertension, they won't know. Alcohol is out. They said it's worse. But none of us will know any of hypertension or hypotension. In the name of Jesus. So when we wait on the Lord, our strength is renewed. Our heart is not sick. We can easily mount up. I like that one. I can easily take on more. I can take on more. I can say more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord. And I'm not saying more as though he has finished one. No. It's even for your good because it will be many crowns on your head afterwards. Because if you do only one, it's one crown. I mean, you guys don't know we wear crowns. No, no, there's crown on the last day. Ah. Either you have been babbling your head, you wear something on it afterwards. Yeah, there's crown on the last days. There's crown. That we would all wear based on reward. So if one God actualizing one thing with you is one, why not take on more? Ah. Because some people might not be needing crown. You can easily say, buy crown. Your head is crownless. I can sell one for you, 1 billion. You know? You can help the needy at that point. Because some people will be crownless. That's the sad truth. But we'll be able to mount up. You know, God will not be afraid to always knock on the door of our heart. He knows that we are eager. We are eager to rise up to the occasion. He says, this is the next thing. And you're not asking, go, you have not finished. No, you know, is a process with you. I like, you know, this is one thing I like about investments and some of these. You know, when you're, particularly if you're saving with any of these apps, you know, when your maturity dates are just hitting each other. You know, like when you save and you lock your, you know, they say you can't withdraw until a maturity date. Now, imagine your yield or your, you know, it's falling on each other. So you've not hit one and then you now have to go and start from. I think I like that analogy. You know, let's say you start saving maybe beginning of the year, but you know that one maturity day will hit January, another maturity day will hit February. That's sweet. How come I'm not cash out? Yeah. You just be enjoying yourself because you've gone through a process that people are not thinking that everything is happening every day. No, you are entering reward consistently because you are always in a process. See, friends, don't have to wait that God should finish one thing with you before he starts another. Before he finishes one, tell him that I'm not weary with this one. Like, I have more strength to take on another. And that's why, it's because you are telling yourself you don't even have time to complain that it's only one God is doing with you. Because you are ready to take on another. You are not complaining that, God, you are doing many with others. You're only doing one with me. Bible says, he that is faithful in a little, more will be. So you are keeping your, that God, see, I like this all, but I'm also ready to. I'm available. And that's why I tell people that, see, trust God never to fail in the service of God. Like, there's nothing that God will ask of you that is too much. It's your reward you are limiting. So when you know that if he says you should do this, whether this for 5 years, if this was for 2 years, if this was for 1 year, like, it's like reward back to back. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we begin to respond to God in prayer? Like I said, I want us to pray for every delay. And we sort that out. I think we can rise up on our feet. Adaba shakapaya. Urodobo sekete legede moshigabaya. Mande bentu semeneke bushta. Abrando shekete legede bosaya. Mando baradisa, manda brato sheketea. Ande brende lekete ndi bosaya, paroste geteya. Imamado shapapaya kurada basia. Ande brendo sike paruste ke telege de bosha kapai. Manda brando sike paruste ke telege doshta. Manda baruste ke telege de moshike pala da bakura da basaya. Ende brendo sike pere deni kapora da bashataya. Ila baruste ke telege de mokoparista katalagada. On the brain, the venekebo shakapai. Zebedo sabadaya paruste keteya. And the brute veneko bradise kete. O die benedu sekepere de gebostia. Is your heart weary? Is your heart sick? Ask for renewal of strength. Ask for grace to be able to mount up with wings like eagles. Ask for grace to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Say that, God, I know that everything you have said, you will bring them to pass. I align my heart with you and I wait on you, Lord. I will not murmur. I will not wail. I repent of every wailing. I repent of every wailing. I repent of every complaining. I repent of everything that has come out of my heart and my mouth that has acknowledged what God is doing, that has brought disdain, that has brought dispute. There are graces over your life that you've not waited on the Lord for because you have brought dispute to them. I want us to enter into repentance and say, God, I wait on you. I wait on you. I wait on you. I wait on the Creator of heavens and earth. I do not murmur. I do not complain. I am not ungrateful. I am not stuck. My heart is not sick. In the name of Jesus, everything God has said concerning my life, I walk in them. I wait on them. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. I think for everyone outside and those inside, actually I think there's space inside. If you can come inside, it's fine. If you're here and there's a particular or there are matters that you are very, very, very sure that there are conversations of delay on them, like you and God, you've come to acknowledge that you have stayed here too long, and so it is a candidate or it's a matter that qualifies for delay. You know, I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. You know that you are very, very sure. You're very sure. You and God know the matter. But the conversation of God on this matter is you have dwelt in this mountain for too long. That's what God would always say to you. So it's not, you are not in doubt. You are not in doubt of this. You are very, very sure. So I want you to raise your hand. And if you happen to be close to anyone that is raising their hand, please, I want you to just put your hand on their shoulder. And if you're just beside anyone, Just put your hand on their shoulder. Put your hand. I'm not seeing people put. Yeah, put your hand on the shoulder of the next person. If you have someone beside you, please. I'm still seeing some people that are without. That's how you can move in. Pastor, I know you can move in. Just hold someone. Just put your right hand on. Please, ushers, please let me tie up. Please let me ensure that everybody has. You can pray for them. Just pray. Pray from the bottom of your heart and be inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Tiki 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 ti
Kata kata.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bring the upliftment. Bring the upliftment. These ones are escaped. Bring it. Bring it, Lord. Bring it, Lord. Bring what changes the tides. Bring it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing at the moment. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Your word is true. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. Indy Frege, please quickly come. I want to give you a task. Amen. He has done so much for us. Yes. Father, we are grateful. We are eternally grateful. We would even teach the people of the world your ways. That with God, you don't have to murmur. With God, you don't have to complain. Because all that he has said, he will bring them to pass. Thank you for building faith in the house. And we say more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Because we are ready to mount up with wings as eagles. More, Lord. More projects, Lord. More assignments, God. More commission is God. More grace is God. More anointing is God. More breakthroughs, God. Thank you, Father. Can we give a shout of praise?